Bengals Nation is the last week of November. This is the week of Thanksgiving, so we're recording this on Wednesday, November 27th, in case we get some of the prices a little bit delayed for you. You're probably hearing it on Friday in the United States. This would be Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, David. How you doing, man?
Good, good. I am back home in Seattle, once again in the room that I discovered crypto in. It's always a little bit nostalgic to be back here. It was a different era back when I was assembling mining rigs in 2017.
You were just telling me that that's what you're doing, just like over to the to the right of you, right, over your shoulder.
Just to my right, yeah. Just pulling my hair out, figuring out how to get six GPUs on the same computer to work.
Jeez, those were the days, huh? Yeah. That was hard when you had to actually like mine to get your crypto. You can't just like stake it.
You can't just press buttons. You had to assemble hardware. Yeah, different era.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to be thankful for on the roll-up today, I think, in crypto today. One thing I am thankful for is Bankless Citizens. We appreciate you guys. I know we say this every year, Thanksgiving time, but you are the reason we do this podcast and have kept up. God, 4 years of straight roll-ups? I don't know how many that is, but 50 times like four. I mean, we got to be over 200. We should go count sometime, but that's a lot. And you guys have been with us the entire time. So I'm thankful for Bankless listeners today and Bankless citizens.
There's a strong contingent of Bankless listeners out there who proudly beat their chest whenever they like come up to me or you at Permissionless or in real world and just say, I have never missed a weekly roll up.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, that is a lot of content.
That's a lot.
Wow.
And you know what? We have never missed a weekly roll up.
We have never missed a weekly roll up. Every single Friday.
Yeah. We're just talking about that.
Big shout out to Anthony Cezana, who taps in every once in a while as needed to make sure that that streak keeps on going. But yes, Bankless has never missed a weekly roll up.
That's the only way we could do it. You can hear Murphy in the background, my dog. I'm just going with it because it's the
Murphy
holidays.
Murphy has also that's never Murphy. Missed a weekly roll-up.
Yeah, no, he's usually we edit it out. We're not going to edit it out. One other person I'm thankful for, David. You,
tell me.
My co-host, David Hoffman.
Oh, thanks,
I was
man.
Going down memory lane, actually, and I went up in our DMs to the very first DM, the very first time we exchanged a message, and here it is. Your first message to me, actually, in DM, Twitter DMs. I do not understand the resistance to Ethereum on behalf of so many Bitcoiners. It is utterly confusing to me. That was December 1st, 2018. So what is that? 6 years ago? Mm-hmm. Pretty much, like, pretty close to the day. And I replied, I said, I've been trying to figure it out as well. At core, the value system appears so similar. I don't know why. We spoke very formally back then. This is officially our first DM.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of Bankless is downstream of that vibe of like understanding Bitcoiner values, cypherpunk ethos that Bitcoiners definitely espouse and put into their blockchain. Seeing that same ethos in Ethereum, seeing that being disregarded in Ethereum. And now, like, I feel like there's, I bet you there's that same DM in two Solana people who, like, are like, why do the Ethereum people just do not see what we, I bet you it has continued down the fractaling, like.
I'm sure. There's multiple generations of this. But anyway, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. What we've said in previous during the bear markets is you got to grab your bear market buddy during the bear markets. And during the bull markets is true, too.
You have to have your bull market buddies turn into bull market buddies.
You got to celebrate with somebody. Yeah. So, you know, celebrating the bull market with all Bankless listeners today. Let's talk about what we're going to cover today on the weekly roll-up. First, you know, last week we started the weekly roll-up with the, you know, dual-wielding middle finger, a 13-year-old, and we were kind of laughing at meme coin shenanigans. You remember that, David?
How absurd it was? Yeah.
Yeah, it was absurd.
Absurd and entertaining and, like, kind of funny, yeah.
Kind of funny, right? Well, like, 3 days later, over that very weekend, things turned really dark. So it started with these ruggings from a 13-year-old and quickly spiraled into some deeply disturbing content. We'll talk about this on Pump.Fun. It got so bad that Pump.Fun actually had to disable their streaming service. Yeah. So what's going on there? Also, I think related to this, Base and Farcaster have experienced the largest TPS and inflows, transactions per second inflows ever. Mm-hmm. I think on the back of some of this, so maybe the meme coin mania is shifting somewhere else. We'll dive into that.
Also, in the world of politics, Trump picked a Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent. What do we know about him? What do we know about Scott? What can we expect from him? He's said to be pro crypto. What does that mean? And also, you'll never guess, Ryan, who became the largest investor in Trump's World Liberty financial raise. The raise is still ongoing, so we're going to check in on that rage. And a huge win for crypto decentralization and privacy in the courts. Judges ruled that the OFAC overstepped their authority in the Tornado Cash case. They ruled that immutable smart contracts cannot be sanctioned. They ruled that smart contracts are not businesses and are not persons and therefore cannot be sanctioned. Huge progress, huge win. Can we use Tornado Cash now? Wait. Well, we're also going to talk about that. So all of this and more coming up in the rest of the show. But first, a moment to talk about our friends and sponsors over at Uniswap. Uniswap V4 is something I'm very excited about, Ryan. It is going to be live soon, TM. I think December is the rumor around Uniswap V4. They are launching a $15.5 million bug bounty for anyone that can find a critical bug in Uniswap V4. It's not just an update. We're not just shipping out Uniswap V4. Uniswap has had $2.5 trillion in cumulative trading volume in V2 and V3 without a single hack ever. This is why the Uniswap brand is the Uniswap brand. It is trusted. It is secure. People put their liquidity there because they trust it. We're doing that same thing all over again to make sure that V4 is just as trusted as V2 and V3. And they're doing that with a $15.5 million bug bounty. So find a bug, get generational wealth. There is a link in the show notes, bankless.cc/Uniswap-bug-bounty. Link in the show notes.
Guys, $15.5 million.
That's nuts.
I wish I had the dev skills to go like black hat, white hat.
You think you could find the bug? You think you could find the exploit?
Oh my God. This is like the largest bug bounty I've ever seen, in crypto, like anywhere. And I guess it's almost like a prediction market for Uniswap. It's like a poly market of like, can you find a bug or not? I mean, this shows how confident they are in their code too.
Yes.
So
yes, it's a little bit of just like, hey, like we need to make sure that we put up capital to fund bug bounties, but also it's a dare. It's like you can't find a bug. You can't do it. You're not good enough. You don't. You're a skill issue. You don't have the skills.
Wow. Okay. So you can find out more about that. Link in the show notes.
Speaking of big numbers, Bitcoin almost, but not quite, hit 100K. I think it topped out at like $99,500. Really giving us the tease. But also, like, you know, round numbers are this big psychological barrier. I think it kind of, in hindsight, makes sense for a bunch of traders to sell at $99,500. Because once it hit that point, it got down to $92,000 yesterday. But since this morning, it is back up to $96,225 where we are now. So even though we bounced off of 100,000, didn't get there, we're still showing a pretty strong performance on the week. Bitcoin on the week up 2.2%, which after its stellar performance for like 4 weeks in a row, being up yet another 2.2%, you know, you got to give a round of applause. The momentum is still going good.
Impressive.
The momentum has gotten so good that it has attracted the attention of Jim Cramer, who publicly just turned bullish on Bitcoin. He got a question about MicroStrategy on a Mad Money episode. Let's just play the clip. I don't have to read it. Let's just play the clip.
Greg in Florida. Greg.
Booyah, Jim. How we doing?
I'm doing well. How about you, partner?
I'm doing very well. All right. So here's the deal. I've owned this stock for a long time, since 2023. I'm up over 1,000% right now. I don't plan on selling it. In fact, after today's correction, I plan on buying more. But I love what the CEO does. He's the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Saylor. The stock is MicroStrategy. What do you
think? MSTR. We used to call that Mr. MSTR. I've got to tell you, it's a Bitcoin play. I prefer to actually own Bitcoin. I know that shit trying
Those
to put
words,
some sort of short
David
on
Hoffman.
It.
All I can tell you is own Bitcoin. That's a winner.
That's what people are saying at that point.
That's why we bounced?
Yeah, at that point, we knew we would never hit 100K. That's what...
What if Bitcoin's momentum is so powerful that it just blasts through the curse of Jim Cramer? It's just like, nope, I'm not stopping.
I mean,
who's going to win? Jim Cramer versus Michael Saylor's infinite money printer.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about that in a second. But like, I actually like that we haven't hit 100K because now we have something still to look forward to. What are you going to do if you're Bitcoin and you already hit 100K? Wait for a million?
Yes. Answer is yes. If you're a Bitcoiner,
but it's
the answer
not
is yes.
Not going to happen this cycle. It's not going to. You can't $1 million Bitcoin this cycle.
That flips gold at current prices, which is
oh my god. Yeah.
$1 million Bitcoin is.
So we still got 100K. Yeah. We still got that to look forward to.
Do you think we hit 100K this year?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're just teasing it.
We got five weeks for 100K? Yeah.
I don't think Jim Cramer. By the way, Jim Cramer said good things about Ether this week, too. So, like, I didn't want to tell you that, but.
Oh, I go. We don't have the Michael Saylor to help us break through that one.
Yeah, we have EIP, you know, 1559, David.
Blob Space.
Which is, our Michael Blob's, Saylor burn.
Blob's burned almost $1 million of ETH this week. Not quite.
Yeah. But they don't get the press that Saylor does. And, you know, like for good reason. Look at this. Michael Saylor has acquired this week another $55,000. Or sorry, 55,500 Bitcoin, which is $5.4 billion at a price just under 100K per Bitcoin.
$97,800. $97,800. And then like right after this announcement is when Bitcoin dumped. And so I think people were like, oh, the buying pressure has stopped. Like, we're not going to be able to get over 100,000. So
are we just depending on Michael Saylor to carry us to 100K to 250K to beyond?
Obviously, he's not the only one in the bid side of the market. But like, man, I don't know what percentage he is, but I'm concerned that it's a lot.
Okay, well, let me give you some stats on this. MicroStrategy, this is actually a report from analysts at Bernstein. Analysts at Bernstein says MicroStrategy is on track to own 4% of all Bitcoin over the next decade.
That is so much Bitcoin. 4% of all Bitcoins is insane.
This is a projection based on, they have 1.7%. MicroStrategy has 1.7% of all Bitcoin. And if they do the thing that they said that they would do, which is like raise all of these billions to purchase more, they're on track to hit 4% over the next decade. Okay?
And the $42 billion that they said that they're going to buy Bitcoin over the next 3 years, they have accelerated. They are ahead of schedule. And so they've already bought like $7, $6, $7, $8 billion since that announcement. So he's just like front running himself on his own timeline.
Yeah. Now, as to whether this all works out, it depends on a few things, the analysts say. Whether investors are structurally long Bitcoin. So obviously, Bitcoin has to go up for this to be a good idea. Also, keep in mind, MicroStrategy is not just buying Bitcoin. They're kind of levered buying it. It's like a levered play on top of Bitcoin. So you're sort of trusting Michael Saylor's ability to kind of like manage some of the leverage that he's doing here. I don't know if you've gotten into all the intricacies of like what that leverage looks like.
I've scratched the surface, not really.
I don't feel like anyone fully knows unless you're like part of the MicroStrategy Michael Saylor machine as to like whether that leverage is quote unquote safe. But like leverage is leverage. So it's definitely depending on Bitcoin continuing to go up. And then, of course, whether MicroStrategy can continue to get more of these bonds, these convertible notes. In order to buy more Bitcoin. So if you think of MicroStrategy, it's kind of like it's like a Bitcoin ETF, but with like more flexibility, but with like more leverage. So it's a levered play on a Bitcoin ETF, essentially.
Yeah, and there's so many eyes on MicroStrategy. Everyone is watching what he's doing, and no one's really triggering any like flags of like this is too risky. He's like taking really low risk debt. Low interest, zero interest debt convertible notes. Like, I don't know the financial engineering, but like people that do know it aren't like overly scared about whatever he's doing.
But he's adding more leverage to the system. Let's just say that. It's not just spot Bitcoin. It's like levered.
It's borrowed. You know, it is
speculation
borrowed
on Bitcoin price go up. Anyway, that's the Bitcoin story. Good week, even at 2%, even though we're under 100K, and like what a run it's been for Bitcoin. By the way, I saw like a legendary call from Dan Moorhead, who we're having on the podcast later in December, David. You know, Pantera guy?
Yeah, of course.
And it was an image of an email that he sent to everybody in, I think it was like June or July 2013.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, I'm backing the truck up at $64 Bitcoin, and I don't care if everyone thinks it's stupid, I'm doing it. Right. And
he was trying to get Pantera to buy it, and he was like, if I'm buying it with my personal funds, if Pantera doesn't buy it, that was like the end of the email. It's like, I'm doing this personally.
Just absolutely legendary like email. So there's been some people that have been playing this for quite some time. But let's talk about Ether on the week. Give me some good news, David. I think we got green candles.
Ether starting the week at $3,070, up 17% on the week.
What?
We are about to break $3,600. 17% on the week.
Is this it? Is this the pump that we were promised?
ETH has been leading the market for about 10 days. 10 whole days.
10 days it's been leading the market. There were some days this week, I should say, where Bitcoin and everything else was selling off and Ether was still up.
Ether was still up. Yeah,
I don't even remember what that felt like, but then I felt it this week, and it felt great.
We have seen strength in Ether. No one get too excited. Everyone calm down. Everyone calm down. We have seen strength in the ETH price. It might break 3,600 on this episode.
David, you said that's a 17% rise, a double
17%
rise
in 1 week. That's pretty good.
So can we look at the ratio first? We'll go back to the flows, ETF flows. But tell me about the ratio, some life, signs of life.
Yeah, the ratio has been up since the 19th, since the 20th. And so we are at like 6 days. What is it? The 27th. So we have 7 days a row of strength versus Bitcoin. It's still low, Ryan. Like, again, no, don't dance. But it has been up for 7 days in a row. We are at 0.037. We hit the low of 0.032. We are currently at 0.037.
And I guess keep in mind, to your point, like we were higher on the ratio, like fairly, like much higher on the ratio November 9th. So most of the
were much lower on the ratio November 5th.
That's true.
We can get more signal. I think we'll get more signal out of this like next week. But like it there is reason to be optimistic a little bit. Don't dance. Don't get excited.
I wasn't going to dance. Don't worry about that. I'll spare everyone this. But
that was mainly for the listener.
This is a chart that maybe we should take a look at. Yeah. It's ETH Bitcoin ratio, but on a different time horizon. I think I know
candles.
Who put this together. What is this chart? Big, fat, heavy, thick candles. Mm-hmm. Some up, some down. What are we looking at?
These are 12-month candles, so one-year candles. So one candle is 12 years.
Yeah.
And it just there's a trend line. We touched it in 2015. We created it in 2015. We touched it on the bottom. When I sent you that message in DMs, Ryan, about like why we don't understand the Bitcoiners don't see what they see in Ethereum, that was about when the ETH BTC ratio was at the 2020 low.
Way back in 2018 when we started.
Yeah, 2018, 2019. Yeah, touched it then at like 0.015, 1.17. Then we had a massive green candle, but then now we're back down to this trend line. So like the message here is like, don't overthink it. On the 12-month candles, the longest of time horizons, the ratio has bottomed.
So maybe ETH's not dead after all.
Maybe ETH isn't dead.
This line reminds me of kind of like Ben Cowan's like logarithmic lines.
Yeah.
And basically, it's pretty similar, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Telling a similar story. Okay, how about flows? Should we check in on our flows? We're up. We're positive.
Flows.
This is good.
Ether, $40 million of flows yesterday on the 26th. ETF flows. $91 million of inflows on the 22nd. The 7 days prior for that was pretty ugly, but that was last week, so we already covered it. And also, interestingly, if you go to the Bitcoin ETF flows, mm-hmm. on the day that Ether had $40 million of inflows, Bitcoin had $200 million of outflows. Excuse me, $120 million of outflows.
Wait, that's never happened. Never gotten a reverse.
Yeah. So
it's almost like these inflows just follow whatever the market price is, David.
I think that's largely the case. Also, total crypto market cap, all-time high this week.
All-time high. Another all-time high week. This is
all-time
the fourth
high,
roll-up
total crypto
of an all-time high.
Yep. $3.48 trillion. We are not at $3.5 trillion. We are right below it. But there has been some down market coins that have materially pumped. Ripple up 50% this week. Stellar Lumens, if you remember that coin, doubled in market cap over the last week. And these are multi-billion dollar market cap things. And so we have seen some like down market cap tokens really adding to the total crypto market cap here.
I mean, have you seen the joke? The joke is that like retail's back now, but they're not buying your bags, crypto native. Sorry, they're going to Ripple and they're buying Stellar and stuff like this. And
Cardano,
we've seen,
I think,
some
Cardano's
of that.
Up this week. Yeah,
Yeah. Do you believe that meme? Is that what accounts for this stuff?
I don't think anyone knows what Ripple or what retail is doing, other than pumping Chill Guy on TikTok. We do know that.
Wait, is that a different cadre of retail? I feel like it's not like I feel like the cadre...
are there different groups of retail?
The people who are buying like XRP and Stellar and some of that, that's like retail from the last cycle who had some of these assets, watched them pump last cycle, and then been sleepy until now. And then that's what I imagine in my head anyway.
Old retail. I was talking to Igor from Synthetics about how the meme about like sell or buy whatever like the Uber drivers or the taxi drivers are shilling.
Yeah.
the taxi drivers, the Uber drivers have not moved on from Ripple and Cardano. Like,
really?
That cohort of people loves the same coins that they have always loved. They have not moved on into like the whole meme coin meta. Yeah. They love their Cardanos. They love their Ripples. They love their Dogecoins. That's just like the taxi driver Uber like coins that they just really like.
All right. Well, there's something for everyone in crypto. That's what you got. Another all-time high in the week is a L2 update brought to you by our friends over at Mantle, which is a fantastic L2. You should catch.
Helped with this all-time high.
Yeah, they helped. They helped a little bit. So this is an all-time high in total value locked inside of layer twos. We're just a hair above the all-time high at $50 billion in total value locked. So some inflows coming to our layer twos.
Great to see. $50 billion in layer twos. That feels great.
You know, another number we should call out, which I noticed on the week, I think you probably saw this too, mm-hmm. is Aave just hit $30 billion in deposits.
That's okay? Awesome.
Aave, DeFi blue chip. We've been excited about Aave since probably the time like you and I just started DMing on Twitter, you know, 2018, 2019. It was mm-hmm. that class of OG DeFi protocols, and they've just been steadily building this like money market, money Lego primitive inside of Ethereum and inside of crypto. And they are now at 30 billion deposits. So that's larger than thousands of banks. If it was a bank, David, Aave would be the 64th largest bank by deposits. That is fantastic. Look at how far we've come.
So cool.
64. Looking forward to the top 10. It might happen this cycle. You know, Aave is a fantastic place to put your crypto assets for yield. A lot of the risk has been kind of like burnt off of it. Just like a big number for Aave that's happening in the background, doesn't get a lot of credit all the time, but you know, they've been building very consistently.
Yeah, speaking of tokens that have had stellar performance, Aave has just crossed $200. It hasn't been this high since April of 2022.
Wow.
And Aave, I would say, is definitely leading the DeFi pack. Aave performance since like in May, it was under $100. May of this year, it's under $100, and now it's at $200. One of those tokens, it was an old ICO token, fully diluted, fully
ETHLEND.
Liquid.
Remember that?
ETHLEND. Remember ETHLEND? Yeah. Fully liquid in the market. Like, I think this is a big, Aave itself is like a big shelling point of just like DeFi strength. So when Aave goes up, I think DeFi is leading DeFi, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. A DeFi renaissance, right? And it's like, but so it's at market cap of $2.7 billion. All-time high was back in 2021 in those heady days where it hit very briefly. It hit almost $8 billion.
Yeah, that was a stupid high valuation.
I mean, this is a cash flowing token, though. It's like it's pretty cool. You can do a discounted cash flow and come up with a valuation with some fundamentals there. So yeah, cool to see that perform.
We like the
All
fundamentals.
Right, we got a lot more. What else are we talking about, David?
Punk.fun had to pause their streaming future because of just a bunch of shit that I just do not want to be even like verbalize.
It's not crypto.
We found, it's not great. We found a clip that I think we'll play to really just illustrate the point, because we're not going to show any of it on screen. What will they do now? And like, what does this mean for meme coins as a category moving forward? And now also, since meme coins are getting so big, it's partly a consequence of meme coins getting so big. Is it now flowing into other chains? So did Base just catch the meme coin influenza last week? We're going to talk about all of these happenings on all these different chains. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make the show possible, especially Kraken, our preferred place for buy and sell, but mainly buy crypto in 2024. If you do not have an account with Kraken, consider clicking the link in the show notes to getting started with Kraken today. If you want a crypto trading experience backed by world-class security and award-winning support teams, then head over to Kraken, one of the longest-standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world. Kraken is on a journey to build a more accessible, inclusive, and fair financial system, making it simple and secure for everyone, everywhere, to trade crypto. Kraken's intuitive trading tools are designed to grow with you, empowering you to make your first or your hundredth trade in just a few clicks. And there's an award-winning client support team available 24/7 to help you along the way, along with a whole range of educational guides, articles, and videos. With products and features like Kraken Pro and Kraken NFT Marketplace and a seamless app to bring it all together, it's really the perfect place to get your complete crypto experience. So check out the simple, secure, and powerful way for everyone to trade crypto, whether you're a complete beginner or a seasoned pro. Go to kraken.com/banklist to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Uniswap Uniswap wallet is officially the preferred wallet of Bankless. And it's the one we use anytime when we want to transact on-chain. Whether you're on your browser or on the go, Uniswap wallet makes it easier than ever to swap anytime, anywhere. Use your wallet to transfer funds directly from a top centralized exchange and tap in thousands of tokens across Ethereum and over 10 other chains like Base, Arbitrum, and Optimism. Uniswap wallet delivers deep liquidity, fast execution, and reliable quotes with zero gas swaps through Uniswap X. And when it comes to security, you can rest easy knowing it's backed by Uniswap Labs, one of the most trusted teams in DeFi. Their code is open source and independently reviewed, so you know it's protected. So why wait? Download the Uniswap wallet today on Chrome, iOS, and Android. And don't forget to claim your free uni.eth username directly in the mobile wallet. Start swapping smarter with Uniswap. Centralized finance held all the power, and now DeFi gives it back to you. Enter the unlimited era with DYDX Unlimited, featuring instant market listings where you can list and trade any market instantly with liquidity. Experience trading like never before with all the trading tools you know and love, all on-chain. And then there's MegaVault, your gateway to automatic liquidity and yield. Just deposit some USDC and start earning yield immediately. It's so simple, and DYDX Unlimited comes packed with so much more. Leveraged prediction market perpetual futures, instant deposits, and there's even a revamped trading rewards program to get rewarded for every trade you make. So visit dydx.trade today to get started.
Here's a headline from Bloomberg. Pump.fun stream shows the dark side of meme coin trading. So last week when we were talking about Pump.fun, it was that 12-year-old rugging like a bunch of on live stream, bunch of listeners. And of course, we talked about Pump.fun is a meme coin launch place, been incredibly popular this cycle.
Yeah, it has been the focus point. It has been the focus point.
And so we've seen various shenanigans, but like most of them, somewhat innocent degen types of things. However,
yeah, absurdist, yeah. Funny.
There has been a darker side to Pump.fun all along, and because there's a live streaming service, like there's live streaming associated with the token launches, anyone can stream whatever they want. Suddenly, this weekend, it felt like it turned real dark.
Yeah, and it got real crazy real fast.
Yeah, so let's just play this clip from, I guess he's a crypto influencer, BitLord. He kind of is a synopsis. Maybe parental advisory warning, like there's some dark material that's covered. We're not going to show anything, but here's what BitLord illustrates has been going on at Pump.fun.
Guys, they cut somebody's head off on Pump.fun today. They've kidnapped dogs, cats, children. Somebody was holding a gun to a goldfish. Someone's holding a gun to a dog. If the price didn't go up, he was going to execute it. They ended the live stream. I think they shut it down. They caught it. And right now, today, somebody is on a 24-hour live stream of crime. He's going around. He's jacking cars. He's jacking scooters. He's broke into a bank, and he's doing that. He's live streaming the whole thing now, and he's trying to say that he's doing it until he gets arrested. That's the coin of the day, a 24-hour crime spree live stream. I mean, guys, this is wrong. This is getting out of control. This is beyond what we dreamed of. This isn't mass adoption. This isn't crypto. I didn't envision this shit.
He goes on and talks about it more, but that gives you a flavor for like what was going on in the streaming service. Like, I guess it's all attention economics.
I think it's the addition of the streaming service into the chart with the dev. I think just really creates a bad mix of features to really incentivize this. You can see why Pump.fun did it in the first place. Like, meme coins, they're very social. Like, you're in the trenches. You're usually doing it with friends. It's just a very social thing to do. And adding on a live streaming feature just really leans into that element. And it also kind of incentivizes some of the most, like, attention-grabbing behavior, which, it just kind of converges on, like, crime.
That's what was happening. So obviously some dark things. So there was a huge sentiment shift. This is Cato AI, and they monitor kind of like Twitter sentiment, social media sentiment for Pump.fun, and they're showing an all-time low earlier this week on kind of like the sentiment for what's going on in Pump.fun. And so there was a call from the crypto Twitter community to just like stop live streaming. Right. There had been some moderation, I understand. Pump.fun was like kind of like moderating some of these streams, but it was just like too much at once. Right. They couldn't keep up with it. And so things were slipping by, obviously, on the app.
Pump.fun is not set up to be a social platform like Facebook or Instagram. And when Pump.fun had a couple like very viral moments, like Chill Guy and also the kid we talked about last week, it just brought in a complete influx of new people and just kind of changed the meta of like people realizing what it takes to really get a token to pump. And so like, it's really this, there's this hot ball of money going around, and there's like different strategies to get that hot ball of money to come to you. And so they have since paused the live streaming feature, and they set out a statement.
On Monday, yeah. Right? They paused it.
Yes, on Monday they paused it. Yeah. Good. That's definitely the positive outcome. Had this gotten any worse, definitely would have been a very bad mark against crypto in the public sphere. Like, I don't want many people to like associate my industry with that. And so this is definitely done in the best interest of the entire industry, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, this was like on the cusp of hitting mainstream attention. There's obviously an article on Bloomberg, but like, you heard what was going on, right? And it's like, there's already some animosity towards crypto and degen, like token behavior, a lot of things people don't understand. And so there's already that as the bedrock. And then if you start to associate this with like kidnappings and like, you know, people's
however
against
real
their family.
Or fake, like whatever. Like, yeah, I think most of this stuff was like
fake, staged.
Fake, but it doesn't matter. Like, one out of 100 is real. And like, that's what, like, we don't really want to move that Overton Shifto there.
Probably the
there.
Worst thing I've ever seen to be like, to be associated with in crypto. Like, degens making money from somebody doing something terrible on live stream. Just
and kids are getting involved here. Like, this isn't FTX. Where this is happening in like a far off distant land in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Like, these are just happening in people's homes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, could be a neighbor.
Could you imagine the headlines? Like, what is your teenager doing on laptop and crypto?
You
talk about
your teenager
panic,
on.
Right?
Yeah, moral panic, I think. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, would be a stain on our industry were this to continue. This is the point Chainlink God makes. Pump Fund is going to be a massive reputational stain on crypto industry on par with FTX. It's devolved into a complete unchecked degeneracy and unmoderated streaming site that enabled kids to gamble and get scammed at scale. Not seen since loot boxes. If not cleaned up, I foresee the feds taking the site down. Negative mainstream articles being written. The Solana community increasingly distancing themselves from the platform as they should. Stuff like this is why I'm telling people I'm not involved with crypto. It comes across as a massive grift. So this was the take, right? And so,
pretty harsh.
I don't know what he has said, Chainlink God has said, post the disabling of the streaming service. But of course, let's remember, this is the app layer, right? So an app like Pump.Fun gets to moderate permission, whatever they want, on top of a permissionless blockchain. Mm-hmm. They can choose to moderate things if they want.
Right.
And like, that's from my perspective, at the app layer, that's a good idea.
That's their responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's yet to be seen how much of a silver bullet just simply disabling the live stream feature is.
Sure.
Hopefully it is a silver bullet, because there's like meme coin and meme coin trading and like that level of like however amount of degeneracy that people might be okay with. And then there's the live stream feature, and like, you can actually like separate these things. And maybe you can say like, well, the meme coin trading does incentivize attention. But like, the whole original point of meme coins is like, it incentivizes attention by making really funny memes versus like live streaming, which creates a different set of incentives. So maybe the mechanism of live streaming was all of the evil here, and just simply turning that off fixes this. I think we're going to see how this unfolds over the next few weeks.
It's so wild to me, because I also, it seems pretty dumb to me. Like, just like, they're recording themselves online, like doing, like doing crime. Right. And it's like, in exchange for what? To pump a token, but that's all like trackable on chain as well. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't think the people who are
doing
this,
they're not thinking about it.
Yeah. The funniest one, that the late live stream feature that I saw, was no hands, no rug dev. And so this dev just pretended like he had no arms so he wouldn't be able to rug you, which doesn't really make any sense. But like, that was his big claim. Like, I don't have any arms, so I can't press the sell button. And so he was like holding that piece of paper that said that under his chin. And then like, and then you just see him bring his arms out, press the sell button, dumps, and like walks away. And like, I was looking at the chart, the guy dumped for like $20,000, which I know is like, that's a lot of money to a lot of people. But also, if like, in the meme coins that like I'm very aware of, with like the $1 billion market caps, that's like nothing.
Well, my question on the back of this was like, is that the top, like, has Pump.fun and meme coins in general kind of like jumped the shark this cycle? Right. And I think that remains to be seen. I don't know that that's the top or not, but I do know that some attention has been moving, some meme coin energy, let's say, has been moving to the base ecosystem, at yeah. least on the week. And you've been pretty actually active in the trenches over there. But one thing
I have pressed more buttons on my ledger in the last 7 days than I have pressed all year.
Okay, so you got to tell us about that, but like a few things. One, we could look at kind of like inflows onto mm-hmm. Base, but this certainly was worthy of attention. So this is a tweet from Phantom. So Phantom, the big wallet, has been huge on Solana thus far. It's basically the way people are buying Pump.fun like meme coins this cycle. Today, we're rolling out to Base chain. We're rolling out the Base chain to everyone on Phantom. You can now swap tokens, access your favorite DeFi and NFT apps, and buy ETH and USDC on Base. So Phantom didn't support Base before, and now it does,
right?
Which is a pretty major thing, I would think.
Yeah. Phantom supports the Ethereum Layer 1, Polygon, and then also Solana. It started off as the main Solana wallet, then integrated Polygon, because that was like the other kind of like degen chain for a while when Phantom was getting started. Now they are rolling out Base. And also they're being a conduit between tokens on Base and Solana. I don't know how they're doing this, but you can swap between tokens on Base and Solana, which is kind of pretty crazy. And this is a UX that users care about, as in like they don't care about whatever chain that they're on. They just want to swap tokens.
The Phantom wallet is great. I mean, the UX has really nice. Always been fantastic. Yeah.
So there's like a short story that I put together in a tweet that is putting a bunch of pieces together. That being Phantom wallet opening up Base activity. It's a big one. TVL in Base, the flows into Base, has just been rocketing up for like 2 or 3 months straight now. Mm-hmm. We were at a little over 2 billion just last October, and we are now beyond $3 billion in Base.
Yeah.
All-time highs. $250 million of inflows came into Base just on November 24th, just in one day. Jesse put out this tweet, all-time high in daily transactions on Base by a lot. There was like a big jump from like 7 million daily transactions on Base up to 10 million-ish, 11 million. And so we're hitting 11 million transactions per day on Base. And then also fees have not moved at all. So Base is hitting like new levels of adoption, new levels of stress, performing pretty damn well. And I think it all kind of begs the question, like, why now? Base has been in an uptrend, but it has really hit an inflection point in the last 7 days or so. And I've personally felt it because I'm playing around on Base.
Yeah, there's like so things, what's going
there's on
there's
things to do there. Dan Romero, the founder of Farcaster, he's calling this programmable social. And so this is coming on the back of an announcement from this one app called AnonCast. And we talked about this last week, actually. This was the Anon app. This is ZK app, where if you have a sufficient supply of the Anon tokens, like 5,000 Anon tokens, you get to go to the website, connect your wallet, and it will let you tweet from this ZK app. And it'll come out of this AnonCast, Farcaster, and Twitter account. And no one will know, including the operators of AnonCast, no one will know who wrote the tweet because of zero-knowledge proofs. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of like a fun little...
And you have to have the Anon tokens.
You have to have the Anon tokens, yes.
Tweet this, yeah. This private tweet, basically.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's
just this,
by
the way. Like, fun fact.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I tried this out. Yeah. It was really fun. So yeah. I don't know if you saw my tweet. I don't know.
I don't know which tweet it was.
Oh, really? You don't? Well, it was funny. I said something to the effect of, like... I have an ETH Maxi podcast, but
oh,
I'm secretly
that
buying
was
Sol.
You?
The
I saw that one.
My podcast co-host
you retweeted
doesn't know.
It, and I was like, that could have been anyone. Like,
You didn't know it was me?
I didn't.
It was me.
Okay, what did the tweet say?
It said something like, here, I'll read it to you. It said this, confession, I'm the co-host of a successful Ethereum Maxi podcast. We're not Maxi podcast, by the way, but right. People think this. And I secretly own millions of Sol. And then I said, I'm just kidding, David. I would never do this anonymously.
Okay, but also, when I read that tweet, I was like, this is somebody else masquerading as Ryan, not Ryan perfect. Masquerading as Ryan.
No, perfect. It was fun. And you have to have the Anon token and a certain amount of Anon tokens in order to do this.
Okay, so that is Farcaster app number one. And this app is a Farcaster account. So like we're seeing like an integration of apps and accounts. So that's kind of cool. And that's just number one. The second one is this thing called Clanker. And Clanker is an AI agent. It's also a Farcaster account, so you can tag it and talk to it. And if you tag it, you can request Clanker to make a token. And you can say, hey, here's the ticker that I want. Here is the picture that I want. Can you please make a token out of this?
It's an AI agent that just like,
it'll reply to
you
in kind of like this like snarky way. And then also talk about like how this token, I hope this token like entertains you for a moment while you like distract yourself from the void. Like very existential, like Nietzsche like level of response from Clanker. But
that's
like
fine.
Aside is this bot.
Wait,
it's
so
AI
you just
agent
like...
bot.
I've not done this. I've seen it done, I think. Like, so with for Clanker, you have to be on Farcaster. What?
Yes.
Right? On Farcaster. So you're on Farcaster. And Warpcast is kind of the client for Farcaster.
Yep.
And you tag Clanker and you're like, hey, Clanker, make me a token. You know, make it like...
Make the ticker this. Here's the photo. And then,
okay, here's the
and
photo.
Then
and then
that.
Do you give it a theme or a vibe? Or like, do you set the like supply
just
parameters or anything?
No, it does all of that for you. I think this is currently in development, so they're going to open up more like expressivity to it.
And
but
it
no,
does
like,
all the on-chain work. It spins up it does, the token.
It just,
everything else.
It spins up a token, and it spins up a Uniswap V3 pool. And so it also spins up liquidity, and then it takes some fees. I think like 40% of the fees. And
Clanker
then they
does.
Clanker does. And then the token deployer takes 60% of the fees. And so there's like regular payouts to token deployers. And okay, so that's app number two, which many people are like using Clanker to issue their, or like create their token, request their token. And so this has kind of turned into the pump.fun of base of Farcaster. And so because it's like you don't actually have to go, and with pump.fun, you have to go and you have to like fill out this form of this token to fill out. It kind of like filling out a Google form. In order to make your pump.fun token with Clanker, you just at the thing on Farcast or on Warpcast and be like, hey, make me a token. Here's a picture. And then it does it for you.
Do you think pump.fun will just create that now? It'll just do an AI agent version of pump.fun?
Well, so there are other, there's already a derivative out there, a Clanker derivative that's on Twitter. And so you can tag it on Twitter and it will make you a token and also spin up a Uniswap V3 pool. So like this is also like going out into like other corners of the world.
Interesting.
Okay. So that's app two. So Clanker is app two. What Dan Romero is talking about, programmable social, is this thing called Anon Fun. And so you can, using Anon, write a tweet anonymously that talks to Clanker to issue a token anonymously. And so now we have this third combinatorial thing of these two apps are now combined together to make Anon Fun, which is you can anonymously create Clanker tokens. And so this is why Farcaster Dan's here.
Hold on. Okay, so Anon, by the way, was a token created by Clanker as well. So
Anon itself was a token created by Clanker, correct?
Okay.
Yes.
But now you can ask Clanker to create an anonymous
token? If you have Anon tokens, you can anonymously, looks like writing a cast via Anon, you can anonymously call the Clanker account and get it to create the token through Anoncast.
Okay.
So like rather
why would
than
you
me
do that? So I could like create, you know, RSA as a moron if I want, and it could be from me, but my ETH wallet or whatever, but or my base wallet, and no one would know it was me because it's all anonymous.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Huh.
And so this is just now this is creating this like new third thing, which is like the anonymous creation of Clanker tokens. And so my imagination goes back to 2019 DeFi summer, put out a tweet that said in 2019, Ethereum discovered money Legos. This you can combine Uniswap with Maker and Aave, and we would have these financial primitives that could combine together to create net new on-chain financial products. In 2024, Farcaster is discovering AI Legos. I don't know if that's the meme that's going to stick, but like call it AI Legos for now.
That's cool.
AI agents or just like even just bot accounts. Because Anon's not an AI agent. It's just more of it's an app in an account. AI agents are talking together, offering services, building new gadgets. And so this is kind of like the meta that I'm seeing of like people are building apps into these Farcaster accounts that are allowing net new things to like kind of be combined together.
That's pretty cool. And it happens to be the case that many of these net new things are like speculative meme coins, right? Is like
many of them so far. Yeah.
Although Anon is not. It's
Anon
it's,
is not. Anon
it's
has
a meme
utility.
Coin, and but it also has some function, right? And it enables you to create like anonymous messages and tweets.
That's right. That's right. I think this is also just the correct, the normal order of progressions. Like Ethereum, when we created the Ethereum blockchain, the first thing you could really do on it was make tokens. And then people learned how to like make apps out of those tokens. And this is what I think happens first. First, Clinker has this primitive of we just make tokens first, and then we figure out how to make apps. Somebody, Cheryl from Seed Club, made Blonde using Clinker. So she made this Blonde token. I think the way that this started is I think there was already a chat called Blonding Curve with a bunch of just like women in Web3 who named their group chat Blonding Curve. And so I think they've already had some like pre-existing lore about blondes in crypto. But Cheryl decides to go to Clinker and mint Blonde. And then all of the Web3 like women who are on Base and Farcaster just thought it was a great meme. And so there's 500 people in this Blonde Telegram. And it's just like a good story of like meme coins. I have previously cast off the idea of meme coins because they're all over the place. You don't really know what it's a grab bag of what you get. But like I've always understood Dogecoin to be like really good example of like a good meme coin of like a bottom up community. And then seeing it happen like firsthand of just like a bunch of women who identify with a meme and they get really excited and they get into a group chat and they just have fun. As like, yeah, it was hard.
It was similar to the NFT energy,
yes,
from last
very
cycle,
similar to
community
NFTs,
NFT
yeah.
mm-hmm. energy. Like, and it's just all a vibe and seems like that's coming back. The interesting thing about this or the tech breakthrough to me is like the AI agent piece, which now it's dabbling with meme coins, but I don't think it'll stop there.
I think it starts there. Okay, not just on Farcaster, but on Base. Speaking of AI agents, have you heard of AI XBT, Ryan?
No. Okay.
Okay.
No.
AI XBT is an AI agent spun up by the Virtuals platform. We talked about Virtuals in the podcast previously when we did our episode with eJazz. And also Matt Stevenson. Luna is the Virtuals AI agent that they made on the platform. It's them dog fooding their own platform.
Right.
Virtuals is just an AI agent, like as a service kind of thing. AI XBT is now surpassing Luna, the most valuable AI agent on the Virtuals platform. And it is an AI bot on Twitter that just tweets out really just useful stuff. This is a really great follow.
Is this modeled off of Zach XBT at all?
XBT is just kind of like this addition of like three letters. I don't know where XBT comes from.
Okay.
But not Zach XBT. It just spits out just data and metrics, and you can engage with it on Twitter. And it's just a really useful account. And it has become the number two influencer on Twitter by engagement stats behind Ansem.
Wait, is this it? Number two?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yep. That's right. Yeah. You should follow it. Yeah. And so like it's just cool to see as like a KOL in crypto Twitter mindshare metric. We have an AI agent in the number two position flipping a bunch of humans. And so that is coming also out of the Base ecosystem.
My God,
as well.
AIs are coming for our job, David. This is pretty useful.
It's really cool.
It's better than
There's
my Twitter
feed. There's a lot of very cool stuff happening.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, this is very cool. All right.
Yeah. So to answer your question about why Base transactions are at all-time high and why inflows are coming in, it's because like people are like me are playing around in like the AI. It's like this AI utility meme coin trenches. We haven't really like come up with the right words for it, but there's like a lot of cool stuff happening for it. And like it's I haven't been more on chain in the last like week.
No, you've been making
all year.
I've seen some of it. You've been making some bets. You've been pressing some buttons, which is a good time to mention our disclaimers, Bankless disclaimers, disclosures, I should say. So we disclose all of this at bankless.com/disclosures. We update this monthly, so we have a disclosure policy. And since David, it seems like, and me a little bit, and you've roped me into some of this.
I have purchased some. I have sold some ETH to purchase some tokens.
Dang, why? How could you? But getting a bit more active, and like what I should say is, so you guys can see that, track that activity. We'll keep it updated. What I should say is, the way I know you do this type of thing in these cycles is you allocate a percentage of your portfolio to go play these kind of like whatever the meta type game is, meme coin game, whatever
the
newest token game type like is. It's actually a fun way to like experience chains, to see how good they are from a UX perspective as well. And but I do want to flag, this is not the type, like not everybody should be in the trenches. And certainly like the percentage, if you are in the trenches, the percent of your portfolio that you allocate to this stuff, like, I recommend that it's small. Like, do not denominate in this type of thing. So this was a good tweet from a DC investor that I feel like kind of sums it up, right? Because we're talking to all sorts of people with different like time horizons and different risk preferences. And he said this place, he's talking about crypto, is absolutely insane because you have people trying to turn $5 into $1 million alongside people trying to turn 100K into 10 million and 10 million to 100 million and 100 million into 10 billion. It's often hard to tell who's who. It's no wonder each group, for the most part, thinks the others are absolutely insane. And that's kind of like, you know, what it comes down to. So obviously, in crypto for the long term, you should be stacking blue chip assets, the monetary assets, the things like Bitcoin, the things like Ether. We would say over allocate in Ether, but that's like kind of the bankless thing. We think ETH is money. You may or you may not, but the degen games are being played by other. And I think you hopefully you're doing it in a healthy way, David. I don't know. I'm just checking in on you, brother. I'm your bull market buddy. So you're not gambling with, 95% of your portfolio, are you?
With my savings? No. The goal is always to take like, my personal goal is to take like 10% of your portfolio, try to flip it into becoming 50% of your portfolio.
Yeah.
And then reallocate it, put it into the savings, the piggy bank, and then do it again. See how many times you can do that inside of one cycle. If you can do it more than once, it's pretty good. But yeah, don't only
you
10%.
Fun. You got a big smile. You must be up on the week.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
All right, what do we got coming up?
Coming up next, a huge win for crypto in the courts. Two wins, actually. Everyone is already talking about Tornado Cash, but there is a second big win in the courts that you might not have heard about. Treasury just backing down. And then Trump announces Scott Bessent will be his Treasury Secretary. What do we know about him and why is this role so important? And then Justin Sun. Oh, I just leaked it. Justin Sun invests $30 million into Trump's World Liberty Financial DeFi
Amazing.
Product. What does Justin Sun want with that? We're going to get to all this and more. But first, I want to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. New projects are coming online to the Mantle Layer 2 every single week. Why is this happening? Maybe it's because Mantle has been on the frontier of Layer 2 design architecture since it first started building Mantle DA, powered by technology from EigenDA. Maybe it's because users are coming onto the Mantle Layer 2 to capture some of the highest yields available in DeFi, and to automatically receive the points and tokens being accrued by the $3 billion Mantle treasury in the Mantle reward station. Maybe it's because the Mantle team is one of the most helpful teams to build with, giving you liquidity support and venture partners to help bootstrap your Mantle application. Maybe it's all of these reasons all put together. So if you're a dev and you want to build on one of the best foundations in crypto, or you're a user looking to claim some ownership on Mantle's DeFi apps, click the link in the show notes to getting started with Mantle. Launching a token? Worried about the IRS? Talk to Toku for 5 minutes to learn how to save hundreds of thousands of dollars for you, your team, and your investors. Now, if you do an initial consultation, Toku will cover the cost of your token valuation, which is what you need for your launch. So don't wait. Reach out to the team right now at team@toku.com. That's team@toku.com. Tired of juggling multiple wallets and websites just to navigate Web3? Meet Magic Eden, the home of Web3. It is becoming a super DApp where you can do everything cross-chain all in one place. They're solving UX issues by building products across every chain ecosystem, swaps, borrowing and lending, NFTs, perps, and more, all seamlessly cross-chain. Instead of hopping between countless sites and handling multiple wallets, just use Magic Eden. Save time and get to the meme coining faster. Plus, the ME token is coming out this quarter from the ME Foundation. If you've used any of their protocols, like the NFT platform, you can claim some. So check out Magic Eden today and watch them become a super dApp and the home of Web3 in real time. You can get there at magiceden.io to get started.
Here it is, the big victory in a Tornado Cash case as a judge says that Treasury has exceeded its authority. Okay, we got to zoom out and talk about this because there's multiple Tornado Cash cases going on right now. This was a specific one, I believe, sponsored by Coinbase. With some people that we know in crypto, one of which is Preston Van Loon, who is a ETH core dev, right? Responsible for the Prism client.
Yeah.
And he is, I guess, a name on the case, along with some others, going to Treasury and bringing Treasury to court because Treasury has, of course, made the smart contracts, the actual immutable smart contract code, they have sanctioned those ETH addresses. It's like on the OFAC sanction list. And Preston and some others associated with this case have claimed, you can't do that. You can't. It's not property. You can't just sanction code. You have overstepped your authority. And it seems like the courts have agreed with that interpretation of the law. So what's going on here, David?
Exactly what you said. So the Tornado Cash contract addresses are on the OFAC sanction list. Their place, their existence on the OFAC sanction list has been deemed by the courts to be unconstitutional. So this begs the question, does this mean that you can just go use Tornado Cash now?
Yeah.
And I tweeted this out asking some lawyers, and they said, yo, hold your horses. let's wait for this to also propagate out down into the lower courts. But the answer wasn't, and absolutely not. So my interpretation of this, and I'm not a lawyer, is that Tornado Cash is still on the OFAC sanctions list. So therefore, you shouldn't go use it.
Because Treasury put them there, right?
Because Treasury put them there.
Yep.
And that action has been deemed unconstitutional. But they are still on the OFAC sanctions list.
For now.
For now. And so hopefully, in the happy case, OFAC removes them from the sanctions list because the courts have deemed them to be unconstitutional. But as of right now, they are still on the OFAC sanctions list.
Yeah.
And so we are in this kind of mushy gray area where we need this court ruling to propagate outwards. And so hold your breath. We might get this. Very cool. Peter Van Valkenburg tweeted this out. I'm loving reading through this opinion. Smart contracts are not contracts, nor are they smart. And that makes all the difference. Contracts in the legal case, as in a contract between two people. While the Van Loon case is all about statutory authority, is also secretly a constitutional law case. OFAC Tornado Cash sanctions were an unconscionable stretch of the limited powers granted to them by Congress. Our constitutional separation powers does not allow executive to simply make up the law, even where there are extrinsic circumstances or national security demands. And it's what makes America great. I think that the really important thing that got ruled here in the constitutionality of this is that humans and businesses, persons and businesses, can be put on the OFAC sanction list. Yep. As a result of this ruling, smart contracts have been ruled to not be persons nor businesses.
Right.
They are something else. They are a new thing.
That's huge.
Which is huge.
An important distinction that we did not have before this case. Treasury just thought that they could sanction code. Sanction autonomous smart contract, decentralized protocol code living on Ethereum. And this court case says they can't do that. They don't have the constitutional authority to do that.
Okay, so question to you, Ryan. We recently just had Roman Storm on to advocate for his defense. He's going to court. He was threatened, potentially going to jail. What has changed with that case? What is anything different now? Is he going to walk free?
Roman Storm is, as you guys will recall, is one of the developers of the autonomous smart contract code, which apparently now a court has decided Treasury is unable to sanction. So, and he goes for his court case and trial in April. So, mm-hmm. Will this make any difference to him? According to some of the crypto lawyers we've talked to, it's slightly helpful, but it's still separate. It's still kind of an apples and oranges thing, because what the DOJ is alleging in the Roman Storm case is that Roman Storm is operating a service, mm-hmm. right? So he was essentially one of those. The autonomous smart contract code may not be sanctionable, but the service, the UI layer over top that he was providing, or maybe the TORN tokens or other elements of things that he were doing, were breaking sanctions law. So it could be slightly helpful, but unfortunately it's a completely separate case. So Roman Storm still needs to raise fund for his defense. We tried to help a little bit more with that last week by drawing some attention to his case and for folks to hear his story. But just a reminder, that case could use some donation. He's trying to raise $1.5 million in order to protect himself. And it's great. When we win these cases in court, all of crypto wins.
We all win.
All yeah. U.S. citizens win. And this is the way to do it, to curtail the administrative power to try to prevent our decentralized use of these public goods. We need to win in the court system. This part of how the system was constructed.
So we just got the Tornado Cash removed. We got smart contracts protected as neutral technology.
Yeah.
What we did not protect is developers' freedom mm-hmm. and ability and right to write open source software. That has not
well
been
said.
Protected. That is a separate issue. So we are chipping away
and
at
just
the
as
Tornado
bad,
Cash
right?
is just as bad. And so like Brian said, this might be able to bolster Roman Sorum's defense a little bit, but it is materially a separate issue. He is still under threat of going to jail. He still needs funds, and we still need to protect Roman Sorum and open source software devs everywhere.
Yeah.
We got some donations in post episode. We did a Twitter space. We still need a lot more. How insane would it be if the OFAC, we got Tornado Cash off the OFAC sanctions list and Roman Sorum went to jail?
I would feel terrible.
That would be insane. That would be the federal government using Roman Sorum as an example, as a scapegoat when he ought not to be. And we need to donate. We need to donate more money to make sure that open source software devs stay out of jail, as including Roman Sorum.
Well, can you imagine if we ended up in this place where, like, sure, the autonomous decentralized code couldn't be sanctioned, but basically if you're a developer, deploying it and writing the code, and then you go to jail? I mean, it's kind of the same type of effect, right? The same chilling effect as if we lost this case. So, like, definitely more work to be done. And speaking of more work to be done and court wins, we got another court win. The U.S. court struck down the SEC broker dealer rule. And so what they were trying to do, what the SEC was trying to claim, is that Uniswap automated market makers, these type, if they're controlling more than $50 million or even liquidity pools, if you're an LP in a Uniswap pool, there's more than $50 million, you are a broker dealer. And this was one of those side issues like we've talked about with some of the crypto lawyers, but it's going on in the background. What it would de facto do is like make all the Uniswap pools, everything in DeFi, kind of SEC-controlled, broker-dealer, AML, KYC, everything that goes along with that. Anyway, the courts struck that down too. So another win on the week. This is Blockchain Association CEO Kristen Smith. She said, "Today's court ruling is a victory not just for the Blockchain Association, but for the entire crypto industry. The dealer rule was an attempt by the SEC to advance its agency's anti-crypto crusade, unlawfully redefining the boundaries of its authority granted by Congress. And following this ruling, we've rolled it back, essentially, protected from this unlawful rule." So another win this week. We're just stacking them up.
Can't stop winning. We're just winning left and right. I'm so tired of winning, Ryan. I'm so tired.
I gotta say, I was telling you before this, it's like one of those Disney movies at the end where like the villain is defeated and like the land was enchanted with like the darkness or the cold, the freeze, and it's just like all the suddenly evil melts away. Yeah. The evil is like, that's what it feels like very much. Wow. Okay, so someone else who will be influential. By the way, you got your court case against Treasury.
So like the beautiful thing about this whole Treasury thing is like we had two shots on goal here and the first shot on goal went in. So great. I still get my shot on goal. Mine's still coming.
You're second.
We already got the goal. And so it would be nice to really drive this point
home. Well, for people who don't know that, David is actually involved in a similar lawsuit to the one
that
we just talked about.
Very highly similar, highly overlapping, yeah.
But the Coin Center is sponsoring it and paying for it. And it's like basically Hoffman and some others against Janet Yellen and Treasury, right? And so that would be a second opportunity to kind of win and further cement this precedent.
Right.
Don't lose, man. You can't lose now, though, right?
No. Well, okay. So the T is that the Coinbase case was given a more favorable circuit. My case was given a less favorable circuit.
Okay. You have to work for it.
TBD.
Yeah. Well, it's not you. It's all the talented lawyers over at CoinCenter doing the work.
Yes. Thank
you,
CoinCenter. God's work.
God's work for sure. Okay. So things could be different under the new Treasury Secretary. David, you gave us the name earlier. Should we just actually play the clip and get Scott Bessent? He's been named as the new Treasury Secretary. Okay. I want to hear his take on crypto. And this is the only thing we've publicly heard him say about it. So let's just hear it in his own words.
I've been excited about the president's embrace of crypto. And I think it fits very well with the Republican Party, the ethos of crypto's about freedom. And the crypto economy is here to stay. The Democrats are running from it because they're trying to wash off the stench of Sam Bankman-Fried and his family's donations to the Democratic Party. So they're willing to take down a whole industry because of bad behavior on their part, bad behavior one actor. And I think that everything's on the table with Bitcoin. And to me, one of the most exciting things about Bitcoin is for a generation of investors who maybe post the great financial crisis, had been looking for investment opportunities, or maybe they'd soured on markets. Crypto is bringing in young people. It's bringing in the people who haven't participated in markets. And, you know, having a market culture in the U.S. and people believing that markets work for them is a centerpiece of capitalism.
David, that is...
That's pretty bullish.
Yeah.
That's pretty bullish.
That is the person probably second to the president of the U.S. who has kind of the most executive authority, sway.
So this is the new Janet Yellen. The current Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen. This is the man who would replace Janet Yellen.
Yeah, this does not sound like
that's
a
big swing.
Who would go and put
sanction,
you know, autonomous smart contracts on the OFAC sanction list.
Yeah.
I don't think so anyway. This is Jake Chervinsky on this pick. Scott, the next Treasury Secretary will make crucial policy decisions for the future of crypto in the U.S. For example, Scott Bessent could undo OFAC's unlawful sanctions against Tornado Cash and order rulemaking.
God, we have so many bullets in the chamber.
Right? It's very good. A broader question is, of course, like, you know, Treasury's responsibilities far beyond crypto. So what is... the new Janet Yellen, the new Treasury Secretary, what's his position on all things like monetary policy and financial status of the U.S.? And this is Raoul Paul's take. Scott Bessent, the new Treasury Secretary, is in favor of a weaker dollar and lower oil prices to drive U.S. and global growth. Okay. That is all you need to know.
That sounds like inflation and put money in the stock market and buy assets. That's what that sounds like to me.
Well, Raoul Paul says, TLDR, Scott is good for your bags. He comes out and says, I've known him for a decade and he gets it. So there you go. That's the new Treasury Secretary selection.
All right. Not done with Trump yet. Trump Media files a trademark for TruthFi. They want a trademark for computer software for use as a digital wallet, payment for processing crypto, fiat, and trading in digital assets. And it also mentions that it wants to cover market analysis data and statistics for financial research and financial custody services, like maintaining possession of financial assets for others for financial management purposes. So this is TruthFi. This is the TruthFi trademark. So these are potentially the things that World Liberty Financial is getting into. So there's your alpha from that trademark.
Well, that's this is actually different than World Liberty Financial, David. So this is from the
Truth Social. The Truth Social. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still also in the Trump getting Empire, into Truth Social.
Yep. Very much.
TruthFi.
Yeah,
Is he going after like a Polymarket kind of copycat thing?
I don't know. I mean, he's just doing it's a trademark.
SocialFi, TruthFi.
Who knows? But it's separate. But the news on the week
he's
for World Liberty Financial.
He's trying to do an X Polymarket. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? He's trying to do more in crypto Empire is. Speaking of that, so this is your lordship, Justin Sun, who's tweeting this out. We are thrilled to invest $30 million in World Liberty Financial as its largest investor. The U.S. is becoming the blockchain hub and Bitcoin owes it to Donald Trump. Tron is committed to making America great again, leading innovation. Let's go. It's like not one to piss.
Justin
Sun, miss
not,
an opportunity.
Not to be outdone. Not to,
to
be
grift
forgotten.
His way into power. Sorry, Justin. Hopefully you don't drop a lawsuit on me. I mean, this is... Caitlyn Jenner,
did I tell
by the
you
way,
they wanted to sponsor the Bankless Summit?
Did they really? I bet
they reached out to me and I was like, I don't think that's appropriate, guys. Sorry.
Caitlyn Jenner replied to Justin Sun's tweet and said something to the effect of, great move to Justin Sun. So Justin Sun is always one to try to like buy legitimacy. You know what I mean? Like, so
inject
this
himself,
is an attempt to do that, I'm sure. By the way, he also named us an advisor. I should have mentioned that. That was the news
I think
morning.
If you donate, how much millions of dollars?
It's not a donation. It's investment,
excuse me,
my friend.
If you invest $30 million, he might be able to finagle his way into becoming an advisor.
Oh, boy. I got to admit, I don't love all of this. No, I'll just put that out there. It's definitely a little bit of a pay-to-play type game over there in D.C.
Yeah. I mean, is this what it costs to win as much as we're winning? We're winning quite a lot. Is this what the pound of flesh that it takes?
Well, speaking of that, you know the guy that we were just talking about, Howard Lutnick, who was elected as Secretary of Commerce, right? He was in the running for Treasury, didn't get that, but he's Secretary of Commerce. So he is from Cantor Fitzgerald. It was reported this week that Cantor Fitzgerald has acquired a 5% stake in Tether for up to $600 million.
I didn't know Tether was like, I mean, I guess everything is available for the right price to the right buyer.
Well, it's interesting because like what this gives Tether is basically, in my opinion, this is just reading between the lines here, that this gives them insurance that the U.S. government's not going to come after them, right? You have the Secretary of Treasury, Cantor Fitzgerald, they now own 5%. You know, Cantor Fitzgerald gets to somewhat front run the opportunity around stablecoins because now they own a portion of Tether, you know? So that's the way it's played, I guess. So right. you tell me if this is the cost of doing business over in DC.
I like this one. This is okay with me.
It's like one thing I will say, now that it feels like we've won this kind of battle, I feel like we're almost setting up the lines for the next war. Mm. Like crypto has very clearly, at least corporate crypto, has infiltrated DC. And right. So I think the good part of that is I don't think crypto will ever face existential risk in the US again. I just don't think so. It's already become too powerful. And so I think we can celebrate this win because the previous regime was trying to choke off crypto in the US, right? It really was. Like we had to do something. But now I'm a little more wary of like this new class of crypto banking elite that could slowly try to close the door on the bankless type things that we care so much about. Yeah. And I'm already seeing the
people that protected us and advocated for us turn into the banks that become too big to fail
or regulatory capture, baby.
Regulatory capture. Yeah. Like I could totally see it. I could totally see it. Like this is what I'm saying. This is what it costs in order to get out of the hole that we got into in 2022 and 2023. Now we're out of that hole. And now we're like, hey, Coinbase is great. They're aligned with our interests.
Don't become evil. Don't become evil, everybody.
But Coinbase is a bank incentivized by the shareholder model, which we did an entire year of podcasts about the toxic relationship of the shareholder equity model.
Sure.
And why tokens and DAOs are better. We've seen this movie before.
Yeah. Eyes wide open. I mean, let's celebrate this win, but like, let's also remember we're not totally free. The mission's not complete until we're bankless and have the right and the ability to go bankless.
Yes.
Speaking of that, okay, so it is Thanksgiving. We open with this. Do you know today, bankless listener, you're hearing this on Black Friday, which is a holiday in the US where everything is discounted if you're international. And so, bankless citizenship has also been discounted. This is the best deal we've ever offered. I think we've, previous Black Fridays, we've done like 30% discounts. Right now, you can get a bankless citizenship on a yearly basis for a 40% discount.
40% off, yeah.
What does this get you, David?
You can listen to this podcast as you have, ad-free, forever. Well, for one year. 40% off. You can also get into our Discord and come and hang out with us. You can get the Token Hub. You can get the Airdrop Hunter. There, you can get bankless claimables. There are a bunch of things all in this package. Something that we have is definitely fit for you. The debrief episodes, people have told me, Ryan, that sometimes they skip the Monday episodes and they just listen to the debriefs to the Monday episodes because they enjoy those more. So if you want the extra podcast content that we put out on the premium feed that doesn't make it to the free feed, you can get that as well. Did I miss anything?
I only listen on Bankless Premium now. I don't know. I listen to your episodes.
I record the ads. I don't need to listen to them.
You don't want to listen to the other feed. Anyway, that is available for you guys right now. There's a link in the show notes. And it's a Black Friday only deal. So make sure you do it now before it expires. All right, let's close this out. David, do you believe in top signals, my friend? Because I feel like we're starting to get into that territory.
Dude, I remember seeing a year of top signals all throughout 2021, and at no point in time did any of them actually cause the only actual signal was the Fed reversal of interest rates.
Okay,
signals of 2021 did not create a top.
Hawk to a girl. Tell me if this alarms you. Hawk to a girl is apparently launching a meme coin.
Yeah,
and mentioned it in an podcast episode with Mark Cuban. I'm giving meme coin and NFT communities 100 free plus whitelist each. Who should I pick? Hawk Tua with a meme coin. Is that not a top signal?
No, I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
See, that's the problem with top signals. Once they come, you're so, like, you know, enamored by the bull market. I'm so desensitized to them.
Like, we saw a year of top signals in 2021. So, like, what I think you can do, and this is why I think it was last week that I said this, is maybe 2 weeks ago, start the sell clock.
Okay.
Like, you're gonna be hammered with sell signals for the next year. And so they're like, the clock has started.
You're not bull market drunk yet, but you're one, definitely like, not. Maybe you're one beer in.
We're taking, I don't know. Maybe you're one beer in. I'm definitely two or three.
Okay. So you got to have your plan. Got to have your designated driver. And this was one in more sober times. I actually tweeted out. This is from March 1st of this year. I said, let's agree in advance. The minute we see a crypto project on the Las Vegas Sphere, we sell it all.
Yeah.
Okay. On the Sphere. So, and I saw this week, David. There's apparently Bonk, Solana meme coin Bonk, is maybe teasing a Vegas Sphere ad that might be coming.
Wait, they're finally doing this?
It might be coming. So I'm just saying, in very sober times, I said that. And if we actually see a meme coin on the Vegas Sphere, it doesn't mean good things.
But are you actually going to sell, though? Are you actually going to do it? Because you can talk about doing it, but actually doing it is a different story.
Yeah, actually doing it is hard.
There is something to note about all people who maybe have not gone through their first complete bull market. Okay. I will not count. If you came into 2021, you are the class of 2021. I do not count as you having seen an entire bull market. In order to have seen an entire bull market, you would need to have been in at the very beginning, which started in 2020.
All right.
Practice pressing the sell button. So everyone wants to hold on to their crypto as long and as hard as possible, because that's we create collectively FOMO.
Sure.
When you have a material amount of money, practice hitting the sell button.
Just practice.
Put that into USDC. Send it to Kraken. Send it to your bank account. Practice pressing the sell button and then putting the money in your bank account. Just
change
those neurons
in your brain.
You don't have to do a lot. But you do need to make sure that your psyche is aware that that is an option.
It's an option.
That you need to carve that behavior. And
it's
so
real money.
It's real money. It's not real until it's in your bank account.
Wait. This is a bankless podcast. What are you saying?
I still have a bank account.
Sell to fiat sometimes, right? For your daily. Also sell to a denominator that you appreciate.
Right.
For me, that's Ether. It still continues to be, against maybe the impulses of the bull markets. For some people, it's Bitcoin. So that's kind of the long-term storage stash.
Yes. But if you are thinking about all of these like Lambos that you want to buy or this house that you want to buy, if you're going to buy a house, you need to have cash in your bank account. And so you have to get cash in your bank account. In order to do that. And so like this is how you don't F up a bull market and like round trip it and have to wait for the next one, because then you just become a bear market. Like, you know, then it just sucks. We have seen this movie before. Everyone does this. And so get into that mental space now.
I don't know, guys. It felt like David was talking to himself a little bit. In that speech. Very good. We'll end with this, of course, as we usually do. Got to let you know that crypto is risky. You could lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.